Our busyness seems to preclude time for family meals, in-depth conversation with friends, times to just sit still for a few minutes in the silence. Sabbath, meaning literally to cease, is a gift that invites us to step away from our overscheduled, busy lives and experience rest.
That's the Reverend Canon David Lovelace, and today he brings you an inspiring message of faith and hope. I'm Peter Wallace. This is Day One.
Welcome to Day One, the weekly program that brings you outstanding preachers from America's mainline Protestant churches, sharing insight and inspiration from God's Word for your life. Now, here's our host, Peter Wallace, to introduce this week's speaker.
Thank you, Sherry. Today on Day One, we're honored to welcome the Reverend Canon David Lovelace, rector since 1996 of the Episcopal Church of St. John the Baptist in York, Pennsylvania. Earlier, David served parishes in Rocky Mount and Belhaven, North Carolina, and for 14 years was rector of St. Paul's Episcopal Church in Noonan, Georgia. David earned degrees from Ferrum Junior College and Emory and Henry College, as well as a Master of Sacred Theology degree from Columbia Theological Seminary in Decatur, Georgia, and a Master of Divinity from Virginia Theological Seminary in Alexandria. David, welcome to Day One.
Thank you. It's a privilege to be here.
The Episcopal Church of St. John the Baptist is a community of believers that welcomes all people to celebrate God's presence in the world. How do you seek to fulfill that mission?
It is a challenge, to be perfectly honest. We are engaged in a number of ministries that reach out to the community around us in hopes of saying to that community, which is a downtown community, so it's a very diverse community, that they are welcome to come and be part of what happens. Much of that, to be perfectly honest, are ministries that meet their particular needs. We see that more often, for instance, than we do seeing that community with us on Sunday morning. But for 7 days a week, the building is in use as we reach out to folks in the community and say, you're welcome here.
Well, how would you describe York to someone who's never been there?
York is an hour from north of Baltimore. It's an hour and a half from Philadelphia. So we're right in a strategic spot in Pennsylvania. It's a community that was one of the original communities in Pennsylvania, the city actually laid out by William Penn. If you visit York, you're going to find some very old buildings there built in the 1600s. And the Episcopal Church of St. John the Baptist was founded in 1755, but the building built in 1769, typical of the downtown churches in the city. City is a very diverse city. It's changing. It's a city that's reinventing itself. It was an industrial area of Pennsylvania for a long time. Now that those things have moved out, it's become more of a technology center and a crossroads for people who are traveling both north and east and west.
You mentioned that St. John's is quite a historic parish. In fact, the church bell could tell a few stories, as I understand it.
That's correct. The bell was sent to the parish very early on. They had no place to hang the bell. The bell was put on the pavement in front of the courthouse, and when the Continental Congress met in York, that bell called them into session. When the Declaration of Independence was signed, the bell was hoisted into the courthouse and rung to announce the signing of the Declaration of Independence. It was claimed by the parish when they renovated the courthouse and brought into the church where it hung until McKinley died. Tolling his death, it was cracked. And it's now sitting in the nave of the parish where it is one of six Liberty Bells in Pennsylvania, all rung to declare the signing of the Declaration of Independence.
That's amazing.
It is amazing.
You mentioned that the church reaches out to the community. How are some of the specific ways that you do that?
During the week, for 5 days, we offer English as a second language classes and GED classes. There are five or six self-help groups that use the building. We provided opportunities for different groups in the community. We have a beautiful, large parish hall to come in and use that as a meeting space. So, for instance, as a charter school about a block and a half from the church building getting started, they use that space as a place to get started. The YWCA is a daycare program. They began that daycare program in that building. So we've offered the opportunity for the community to come and use our facilities to engage in the ministries that they're engaged in as they're getting started, many of them.
So the church is very active in the community, an important part of the community. How would you advise other congregations, other parishes to more fully integrate with their communities?
We have to pay attention to what is happening around us, and I think the best way to do that is to listen to people. I'm fortunate in York in that I've had the privilege of being on several community boards, which gives me an opportunity to hear some of what the needs are and to begin to talk to folks in the parish about how we respond to those needs. We're also fortunate in that a number of people are engaged in a variety of things in the community, United Way, Habitat for Humanity, Staying Connected, things of that nature, and they're able to bring those concerns to us, and then we can think about, are there ways for us to join with others and respond to those needs? A lot of it is listening. It's just listening to what's happening around you and thinking about, okay, how do we, as people of God, engage with that in a positive way to bring about the kind of change that people perceive to need?
And cooperation with other congregations, other organizations?
Absolutely essential, yes. Yes, we have tried to partner as much as possible with other groups and other congregations to make things happen, yes.
Now, how did you yourself find yourself drawn into the ministry?
I actually began to wrestle with it probably when I was in scouting, and I did a God and Country Award. And I spent a lot of time with Bob Boyd and Bruce Campbell, who were the two ministers in the parish that I grew up in Richmond. And they began to talk to me. At that point, I was a licensed lay reader. And they began to talk to me about the possibility. To be perfectly honest with you, it was the last thing on my mind. When I went to college, I had an opportunity to ride a circuit for the Methodist Church, which was a whole lot of fun, but it was a lot of fun. I came back home and was in the retailing business, and I kept being nudged and nudged. And when I went to seminary, it was with the idea of maybe this will work, and it's worked very well, to be perfectly honest. So that nudging by other people and by God eventually nudged me in the right direction, and I went to seminary, and I've never looked back.
Well, your sermon today focuses on the gospel reading from Mark chapter 6. Would you read it for us?
I would be glad to. The apostles gathered around Jesus and told him all they had done and taught. He said to them, "Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a deserted place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they hurried there on foot from all the towns and arrived ahead of them. As they went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. When they had crossed over, they came to a land Gennesaret and moored the boat. When they got out of the boat, people at once recognized him and rushed about the whole region and began to bring the sick on mats to wherever they heard that he was. And wherever he went, into villages or cities or farms, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might touch even the fringe of his cloak. And all who touched it were healed.
David, when I hear this, it sort of wears me out. Jesus is constantly surrounded by needy, hungry people and yet has compassion on them. But what strikes you as you read this passage?
The same thing, to be perfectly honest. When you hear it, you think, is there any place to rest? Which then reminded me to look back to the very beginning when he's inviting his apostles to go with him and find a place of rest. And I think that I often think about our lives and listening to people talk, and even my own life, and wondering, where is that place of rest? Because there doesn't seem to be a place or a time where that's a possibility.
Well, David, we look forward to hearing your sermon, an invitation you will not want to refuse. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you. Come away to a place where there are no cell phones, your iPad will not work, a place where you can rest and be recharged. An attractive sounding invitation in the midst of our fast-paced, overscheduled, information-filled days. Our busyness seems to preclude time for family meals, in-depth conversation with friends, times to just sit still for a few minutes in the silence. We seem to enjoy the hectic pace of our lives, for seldom do I meet someone who's eager to tell me about their downtime, but I do often hear stories of busyness. Our culture supposes that activity and accomplishment are better than rest. We identify ourselves to one another most often by what we do rather than who we are. I find myself easily slipping into a rhythm of activity that allows little time for refreshment of body and soul. Sabbath, meaning literally to cease, is a gift that invites us to step away from our overscheduled, busy lives and experience rest. An invitation to escape to a place apart where one can find Sabbath is enticing. Mark's telling of the Jesus story has a frantic pace about it. In the 6th chapter of Mark, Jesus sends out his disciples in pairs to go among the villages and teach. He gives them power over unclean spirits. He instructs his disciples not to take food, a bag, or money with them, but to accept with gratitude the hospitality extended to them. Jesus says to his disciples, "If you're not welcomed, not listened to, don't make a big deal about it. As you leave, simply shake the dust off your feet and keep going." So they went out among the villages, proclaiming repentance, casting out demons, and healing many who were sick. When they returned, they could not wait to tell Jesus stories about their accomplishments. As you might imagine, by this time, Jesus and his disciples created quite a stir among the people, so they find it difficult to stop and rest, much less eat a meal in peace. Even as Jesus listens to his disciples' stories, people are coming and going, so Jesus says to his disciples, "Let's go off by ourselves so we can rest, talk about the good you've accomplished, and share a quiet meal together." So they get in a boat and set sail for that deserted place with no cell phone reception, no Wi-Fi, no interruptions, just Jesus and his friends. Finally, a little time to leave the work at the office and forget any schedules and just rest. As it turns out, Jesus is onto something. The rhythm of work and rest seems to help us human beings function better and feel better about ourselves. A recent study published in the Journal of Social and Clinical Psychology by a team from the University of Rochester McGill University in Canada and Virginia Commonwealth University in Richmond confirms what most of us know. People, regardless of income, working hours, profession, or age, feel better mentally and physically when they take time off from their labors. The report states, "Our findings highlight just how important free time is to an individual's well-being. Unfettered time provides critical opportunities for bonding, exploring other interests, and relaxation." We know from our reading of Scripture that Jesus observes the Sabbath. We have stories of Jesus being in a synagogue on the Sabbath. We also have stories of Jesus' struggles with the religious leaders over how the Sabbath is to be observed. He seems to focus more on appropriate behavior than on the significance of Sabbath observance. Early in Mark's Gospel, Jesus teaches that Sabbath is a gift. It is a day to be freed from our labors, to enjoy the creation and the Creator. He says, "The Sabbath was made for mankind, not mankind for the Sabbath." The invitation of Jesus to his disciples to retire to a place where they can rest, take a deep breath, bond with one another, and share in telling their stories is important for their well-being. Who among us does not know that things do not always go as planned? As Jesus and the disciples cross the lake in a boat, word spreads that they're on the move. People set out on foot and reach the place Jesus has in mind as a place of rest. When Jesus and his disciples arrive on the shore, they find a crowd awaiting them. The crowd wants to hear what Jesus had to say. It's part of the human experience to seek that which we find lacking in our lives. The crowd is hungry for an assuring word. They want desperately to be made well, and the word is out that Jesus offers what they most need. Mark tells us that Jesus had compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. Though Jesus is most likely tired and hungry himself, he gives the crowd what they most need. He stops and focuses on people in need. He sees people whose lives are chaotic as they try to provide for their families. He sees people who are confused by the changes in the world about them. He sees people fearful of others who are not just like them. He sees people who simply have lost their way. He sees people who are hungry for reassurance and long for words of hope. He has compassion on them and teaches them. In the portion of Mark's account that we skip in the appointed reading for today, the disciples remind Jesus that the sun is going down and the people need to head home to supper. Jesus invites the disciples to feed the crowd. "Are you serious, Jesus? We can't afford to feed this crowd." Jesus invites the disciples to find out what's available. They report 5 loaves and 2 fish. Jesus took the offering, blessed it, breaks it, and gives it to his disciples to distribute. Everyone eats, and they're leftovers. Jesus feeds their hungry spirits and their hungry bodies. Then Jesus moves on to face another crowd eager to have him heal their sick. Mark tells us that everywhere Jesus went, people flocked to him for healing and a word of hope. Lynn Babb in her book Sabbath Keeping writes, "For Jesus, the Sabbath was a day to do good, show mercy, save life, free people from bondage. These acts, appropriate for the Sabbath, spoke of God's nature, a merciful God, a God who heals, a God who delivers people from evil." I suppose we're surprised by this account. From the very beginning, Jesus was concerned with showing compassion for people. I was recently with a group of clergy when one person observed that in Mark's gospel, it seems like people are always rushing after Jesus, wanting to be made whole. That thought had never occurred to me before. As I read this particular passage, it struck me that people aware of their needs, be they physical or spiritual, sought Jesus with the assurance that he could address their need. I have thought about that in terms of how most people I know think about church communities today. In a world where religion has become suspect, I wonder how many people identify the church as a place to address their needs, a community in which to find wholeness. Being in a downtown church, I can assure you that a number of people do seek assistance for physical needs. I believe the church also has the capacity to respond to a hunger of the spiritual seeker. I believe God is pushing us toward a new understanding of connectedness and spirituality. I believe faith communities provide us the support and encouragement to strive toward wholeness by caring for our bodies and our souls. We're called to seek places of rest where we can be still and know God. We're invited to bond with others in exploring the richness of God's grace. I believe there is a reshaping of the world afoot with an emerging spirituality that is concerned with self-care, with the care of others, and with the care of the planet we call home. In order to be part of this new day, we must practice our faith intentionally. We must reach out in loving compassion to care for the least among us. We must put aside our petty differences and strive for peace among all people. We must seek and serve one another in God's name. Following the example of the disciples who went out in pairs, we need not be shy about telling our story, for we are fortunate enough to know the great love of God for all of us. Let us pray. God of compassionate care and loving grace, grant us depth of faith and confidence in your love, that we might find our identity in you as the Beloved. Help us to acknowledge the power of Sabbath as a time to be renewed and refreshed to answering our several callings. In a world filled with changes and chances, give us courage to serve the least among us and to provide compassionate care for all who seek our assistance in their desire to obtain wholeness. May you, the God of hope, fill us with all joy and peace in believing through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Now,
David Lovelace offer some final thoughts on his message today with our host, Peter Wallace.
David, I really appreciated your message, as I, like many people today, often find myself overwhelmed by all the high-tech internet cell phone noise. So to hear Jesus' invitation to come away and rest for a while is very appealing. You said our culture supposes that activity and accomplishment are better than rest, but it really is about keeping things in balance, isn't it?
It is, really, and I think that's the hard part for most of us, particularly with all the technology that we have nowadays. I know if most people are like me, I've always got some kind of device, and that device is always going off at the wrong time or wanting me to pay attention to it. And it's hard to put that aside. It's hard not to be connected in a world that's very connected.
By creating the Sabbath, God carves out time to rest one day a week. Jesus, you said, observed the Sabbath, but also struggled with the religious leaders about its priorities. Would you say more about why and how we should observe the Sabbath?
I think it's hard to find times of rest. And I know in my own situation now, when I talk to young families, even on Sunday, there are sporting events for their children, there are dance recitals, there are lots of things going on in their lives. And it seems like our lives nowadays are overscheduled, all of us. And so how can we step away from those schedules and convince other people that it's important to just stop? The same thing with commercialism today. I mean, what you find are there's no time really to move away from going to the store or going to run errands or doing the things that we need to do. There's no real downtime. So we have to be very careful ourselves to plan that time for ourselves and to make that an obligation, something that we hold to, rather than saying, oh, well, you know, I'll get around to that. It has to be something we're very intentional about.
You said you believe God is pushing us toward a new understanding of connectedness and spirituality, and that faith communities provide us support and encouragement to strive toward wholeness by caring for our bodies and our souls. How can we do that more effectively and meaningfully in our congregations?
I think the important thing is to help people understand the importance of connecting with each other, and that when my spirit connects with your spirit, then between us we can listen and actually discern the voice of God. So bringing people together, whatever activities we might find to do that, and I found at St. John's that sometimes they sound like they're very fun activities, and they are, but what feeds the soul is that people came together. They listened to each other, they talked about things that mattered, and they walked away with a different understanding of themselves and a better understanding of how God is active in their lives.
You spoke out of an emerging spirituality concerned with self-care, the care of others, and the care of our planet. How can we keep those aspects in the best balance?
I think we do have to keep them in balance. It's true that if we ignore any of those things, if we ignore ourselves, if we ignore the community around us, and if we ignore the larger community, that things get out of balance. And when they do, then we lose our perspective and we lose that compassion that Jesus had for the people who came to him and said, these are our needs, and he responded to those needs. We have the same commission to respond to people in time of need and the blessing of being the bearers of God's grace in this world. And so keeping all of that in balance allows us to be those vehicles through which that can happen. But when it gets out of balance, then we don't have within ourselves the capacity to do that.
So, David, what's one thing from your sermon today that you hope our listeners will keep in mind this week?
That kind of balance is very important, that we need to be sure to, in our own lives, observe Sabbath, find time for rest, find time to be part of church community or some community that not only revitalizes the body, but revitalizes the soul.
David Lovelace, thank you for being with us.
It's been my privilege.
Day One is the voice of America's mainline Protestant churches. Visit us online at dayone.org. Our program is recorded and edited by Donald Jones and produced by Peter Wallace. Thank you for joining us. I'm Sherry Miller, wishing you all God's blessings on day one and forever. Now, with a special word, here's Day One host and president of the Alliance for Christian Media, Peter Wallace.
Thank you for listening to Day One. Day One is the only national and international platform for the positive, passionate faith of the mainline churches. And we are reaching hundreds of thousands of people through radio, the internet, and today's social media. Day One is your voice. We proclaim your faith. But we need your support to continue. If you appreciate the resources we make available through our radio program and website, please consider making a donation. Send it to Day One, 644 West Peachtree Street, Suite 300, Atlanta, Georgia, 30308. That's 644 West Peachtree Street, Suite 300, Atlanta, Georgia, 30308. Or give online at dayone.org. Just click on the red donate button at the top of the page to make a quick and much-needed donation. Our radio program, formerly called the Protestant Hour, has been on the air every week since 1945, and we firmly believe that the future is bright, and the positive message we proclaim is needed more than ever. So please give to Day One. We are grateful for your support.